Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has introduced a measure that would bar the military from using video games to recruit. It's been a key tactic for the military, which has not been able to recruit through more traditional venues like state fairs and school events because of coronavirus. Let's bring in Ben Brock Johnson, who covers tech for Here and Now. Ben, first explain how the military uses video games to recruit.
Right. Well, I think it's important to say that in a lot of ways, the military has been soft recruiting via video games for a long time, right? From things like Call of Duty or Battlefield, Ghost Recon, even to games like Halo and Destiny, which are much more science fiction. All of these games are really part of what you might call the military entertainment complex, right? But the weird new wrinkle here is that the U.S. military has been experimenting with Twitch streams and esports. Twitch, if you remember, is sort of like a YouTube for video game streamers. It's owned by Amazon, and what people do is watch other people play video games on it. And that's not just for individual users. It's also a big business. That's called esports. The Army has had an esports team. The Navy has one now. The Air Force has one. All of these teams of video game players include active duty members. And of course, you see a guy in the military playing a video game. That becomes a forum for a conversation about joining the military, almost like the table that you might set up at a career fair.
But the military right now is taking a pause on this to review its policies after they recently got into some First Amendment trouble. Explain what happened.
Right. If you're doing something on the internet that involves a social media platform, usually, which Twitch is because it allows conversation and chatting between gamers and audience and vice versa, some users were heading into the streams of the military to raise questions about war crimes being allegedly committed by the military. A very interesting form of trolling, to say the least. And when this trolling happened, the military banned certain commenters and kinds of comments from these streams. So, for instance, you couldn't use the phrase war crimes in the military's Twitch streaming channel. Another rule of the internet, of course, Jeremy, is the more you try to suppress and ban people for trolling you, often the more you get trolled. And this is what happened to the Army. Have you ever heard of the Streisand effect?
No.
It's this thing where Barbara Streisand, who we all know and love, tried to wipe pictures of her Malibu residence off of the internet. And the more that she tried to get rid of them, the more people loved to post them on the internet. That is called the Streisand effect. And that's what happened here, right? The military basically tried to ban this conversation from its channels. And the more they banned it, the more it happened.
And can they do that? Can they ban? I mean, the ACLU and others have been very upset about that.
Right. So I think part of the reason that the military is reviewing policies for these channels right now is that we don't really have a clear answer. But the Knight First Amendment Institute sent a letter to both the Army and the Navy recently calling for them to stop banning players, saying, quote, "The Army and Navy can't constitutionally delete comments or ban people from these Twitch channels simply for asking questions about issues they would rather not address." So I think it's a little bit of a debate right now.
Okay, so some issues to deal with right now, but assuming that they're able to pick this up again in some form, has it been successful, more successful in terms of recruitment than traditional methods?
Well, it has in some ways. And look, this is a case of meeting potential recruits where they already are, right? You're going to be more successful if you're trying to convince someone of something in an environment where they are comfortable and where they see you as part of the in crowd in that particular environment. Also, video games depicting warfare and war don't really deal with the real negative impacts of warfare and war, right? They might be violent, but they certainly don't take hard looks at, you know, what warfare does to communities, countries, individuals. Video games depicting war are entertainment. So not knowing more about the science of all of this, I'd say that those things are why it's more successful than traditional methods.
But aren't some of the people who are playing these games a little young to be recruited into the military?
Right. So there has been concern from politicians. You know, we have this recent amendment introduced to a funding bill from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, basically saying that the Army is interacting with gamers as young as 13 and that that's predatory, especially during a pandemic when teenagers are feeling sort of extra desperate for money. And there was also a case of some of these military channels actually dropping links for contests to win gaming systems into some of these Twitch stream chats. But when you actually click on the link, it would bring you to a recruiting page. So there have been people kind of crying foul in terms of how the military is talking to individuals online in this way. They're reaching much younger people. We'll see where that nets out. I don't know if that amendment is going to move through Congress successfully, but it's certainly true that some politicians are starting to get concerned about this.
That is Ben Brock Johnson, who covers tech for Here and Now. Ben, thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.